You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a five-star review on iTunes. You can email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook at LockedOnBulls. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bears by Arthur Arkush. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, training camp is underway.
Bulls are still undefeated, and most importantly, after at least the first session of the first day of training camp, the Bulls are healthy. If you recall last year, Derrick Rose suffered that orbital fracture on the first day of camp, first practice with an elbow. Today you were there, Sean.
It was.
And it was a long one, 2.5 hours or so. What was the takeaway? What was the feedback? What was the vibe?
Well, everybody's optimistic. Everybody's happy. Everybody's getting along. Everybody's energy, Fred Hoiberg said, was off the charts.
Every single preseason narrative is being hit between media day and the first media session from the first practice.
Well, I'm not sure. We haven't seen any players say they're in the best shape of their lives yet.
But do they look like they're in the best shape of their lives?
From what we've seen, nobody looks like they're actively out of shape. So I guess everybody's technically in the best shape of their lives because they're not in the worst shape of their lives.
That's good. That's the new era of the NBA. You used to use training camp to get in shape. Some guys, Shaq, would use the first 40 games of the regular season to get in shape. Nowadays, they show up at camp in shape.
Right, and everybody always talks about how much they were doing over the summer. Obviously, Jimmy Butler stayed busy playing in the Olympics, so he's in pretty good shape.
Doing beach workouts.
Because he didn't really have any time off. A bunch of these other guys were around during the summer working out. But yeah, everybody's optimistic. Everybody feels like things are headed in the right direction. Rajon Rondo.
They're really optimistic about him.
They love Rondo. The two guys that talked today after practice were Fred Hoiberg, who talks after every practice, and Jimmy Butler. And both of them have just talked about what an impact Rondo has made. And Fred said that he has, quote, the best voice in the room, just in terms of communicating with guys and, you know, trying to advise the young guys, which, I mean, we can
read into that quote.
You can read into it whatever you want. You can talk about whether the idea of Rajon Rondo being this vocal leader is the best thing for the Bulls, but that's where things are right now. Jimmy Butler also talked about how great it is to play with Rondo in practice, how much he just sees plays before they unfold, and how much easier he makes it for everybody else.
Yeah, I want to read into that Hoiberg quote. I think my belief is that Fred Hoiberg's really happy that Rajon Rondo is his point guard and not Derrick Rose, and this has nothing to do with Derrick Rose's off-the-court legal issues. This has nothing to do with just his kind of sloppy ability to talk to the media about stuff, basketball-related topics. Just having a point guard that Fred thinks he connects more with, I think he's really happy about this. And you mentioned he said Rondo had the best voice on the team. He also referenced Rondo talking on the court, knowing how to get into those sets quickly and setting a tone for the team. Like, to me, it's like, read between the lines. This is what Fred likes in a point guard and wants. And we've talked about this before. There will be hurdles with Rondo and just him being kind of a brash, hard-headed guy at times with that great basketball intelligence and maybe clashing. But so far, it's like Fred likes what he sees in there.
Right, and I think what helps is that every NBA person I've ever talked to about Rondo, and this is something that Tom Thibodeau also said to me, who obviously was an assistant coach in Boston when Rondo was there, was that Rondo is among the very smartest players that they've ever been around. That's something that if you bring up Rondo to anybody in the NBA world, whether it's a coach, a scout, an executive, they will just rave about his basketball IQ and rave about how he sees the things that are going on in the court. Like, he'll see things like two or three plays ahead of time, and on a level that basically only LeBron and Chris Paul, and back when he was a player, Steve Nash, were able to.
Yeah, it raises the question, are the Bulls smart enough as a team to take advantage of that brilliant side of Rondo? And I don't know that we have an answer yet. I would not have called the Bulls a smart basketball team out there on the floor last year.
No, not at all.
For long stretches, they did a lot of puzzling, quizzical things on many occasions, offensively, defensively, just decision-making. So that's the learning curve. I know several people referenced it at Media Day. John Paxson, I believe, referenced it in regards to Doug McDermott. Rondo's going to be able to find you, get you the ball on the court in different ways that you're not used to. If the Bulls, the rest of the Bulls, can get on that same page and see the game at least kind of in the same light as Rondo as far as where to be on the court, they can take advantage of that. Because right now they're saying all the right things about him, the attitude's right, but it's still different practically speaking. And it seemed like the Bulls went pretty hard in practice today in that contact portion in the morning. And we're taping this in the evening as the Bulls were scheduled to have their non-contact lighter practice in the evening. A little more walkthrough and just basics of things.
Probably some film tonight.
Yeah, some film too. But yeah, Rondo, it's just weird. I mean, it's day one of training camp. Dwayne Wade's first practice. Jimmy Butler's still the alpha dog. And everyone's talking about Rondo. I mean, this is a new era. I mean, point guards, I guess, they run the show. I guess that's what happens. You talk about them.
They do. And even with the Rondo signing, it would seem like it was kind of one of the weaknesses of the Bulls, just because Rondo, as much as, you know, he led the league in assists last year, so his numbers were great, but he just has not been the same player since he had that knee injury in Boston in 2013. That he was before that, when he was a perennial all-star and, you know, a first-team all-defensive caliber point guard. And so there's been plenty of skepticism, and I still think there's reason for skepticism that Rondo is going to play at that level. But, you know, just at least based on what Jimmy and Fred said today, all the signs so far are positive. And none of it's going to matter until they actually step on the court together, which we're going to see in a little less than a week. The first preseason game against the Bucks at the United Center is this coming Monday, October 3rd.
And Sean, if you want to go to that game, of course, one of the easiest ways you can buy and sell tickets.
What's that?
SeatGeek, as always. Easiest way to find tickets for games you want to see up close and in person. There's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest plays of the year, of the season. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to find great value for those seats. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's mid-court, the club seats, the suite level, or the upper deck. I have SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. Can be anywhere with just a few taps. You can look for your Bulls tickets, any other tickets you want in the city. You can instantly find seats for the weekend, any game of the season. You always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. You also get the most bang for your buck, which is the huge benefit. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see the underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And the big deal, the big thing is listeners can get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is go download the SeatGeek app on your phone. Go to settings, click the add promo code, enter L-O Bulls. That's just how it sounds, L-O-B-U-L-L-S from our podcast. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app today, enter the promo code LO Bulls, and get your tickets. What else stood out to you at the first practice of the season, Sean? Or I guess I should say the aftermath of the first practice of the season.
Well, one guy that Fred brought up, and that this is going to be somebody I've always been curious about, you know, what his role is going to be this season, and that's Bobby Portis. And Fred pointed out that Bobby Portis has been working this summer on extending his shooting range. He showed an ability at times to, you know, go out to 15 feet, hit a jumper, you know, shoot from the mid-range. I think the Bulls would like to see him get that range out to the three-point line so that they, you know, that gives them another weapon to use, you know, to stretch the floor.
I find it interesting that you bring up Bobby, because I thought John Paxson at Media Day on Monday was maybe, he was a little hard on Bobby, just not hard, but really honest and upfront about how difficult it's going to be for Bobby to get playing time. So for you to bring up that up to reference Fred, and you know the Bulls, that they were happy that Bobby slid to him in the 2015 draft there later in the first round a little bit. But at the same time, Taj and Nico in front of him, Robin Lopez, taking up those just big man minutes in general as well. it is going to be tough for Bobby. So, like, what should we expect, I guess? We didn't talk to him yet on Media Day. I'm sure we'll talk to him here soon in the upcoming week at some point. But how do you envision him just fitting in?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where he is able to get playing time. And we asked Fred today where the starting power forward thing is at in terms of who's going to be in that rotation, in that competition. And, you know, obviously the two candidates are Taj Gibson and Nico Mirotić. And Fred said it's an open competition. He hasn't really said who's going to start, who he's leaning towards. He said they're going to try a lot of different combinations. I'd still be shocked if on opening night against the Celtics at the end of October, Nico Mirotić isn't starting.
Yeah, if Nico doesn't start, it's just going to be like full throttle Bulls ignoring what is just the NBA norm now. And it's almost, you know, harkening back again to Monday again at Media Day, just almost how comical it was that the Bulls just didn't seem to care about three-point shooting. You know what I mean? At some point, you have to acknowledge how important that is.
Multiple
you
playmakers.
You can't be defiant about it all the time because remember, Rondo, a bad three-point shooter. Last year, I know he's league average. Historically, a bad three-point shooter. Dwayne Wade, historically speaking, is a bad three-point shooter. Not historically bad, but historically speaking,
he's a career 28% three-point
shooter.
That's
bad. Jimmy Butler, subpar. Maybe not quite bad, but subpar. And I think I mentioned this before, but I think his ability to knock down three-pointers, he needs to get back to league average. Like, that's the next step in my mind for Jimmy. He proved a couple years ago that he could add the three-point shot to his arsenal, but then I think he had a strong start to the 2015-16 season, then really went downhill for like the last two-thirds of the season from the perimeter there. But he's got to step up in that regard. If you're going to be the team leader, you got to keep working at that. And we know he's added ball handling, pick and roll skills, but they got ball handlers now. So you got to adjust your role a little bit, I think, if Jimmy. And sometimes that'll be being a little bit more of a knockdown three-point shooter, even if it means the ball in your hands less. So I do find that interesting. Bobby, of course, shot just shy of 31% on threes last year. But to me, he's stuck in the middle. Nico can shoot the three-pointers much better than him. Taj can do the dirty work, the defense, all that stuff inside a little better than Bobby. The Bulls do need to rebound better, though. They've talked about that. So Bobby can help with that. So interesting he said that. One comment that did stick out to me today came from Jimmy Butler, actually, and is a little bit more on the comical side, though. But I believe Sam Smith brought up Vegas setting the kind of Bulls line at 38 wins or so.
Yeah, 38.5.
Jimmy was just asked about that in general, how he felt about that.
And for reference, Fred Hoiberg said yesterday at Media Day that he's talked to the team about using motivation. That as motivation.
The nobody believes in us motto. Which, again, is funny for a Bulls team with Dwayne Wade on it because he's had a lot of believers in his life.
I would
and such,
say
and that's your,
I would
that's
say
your
so.
Leader now. But Jimmy Butler said, of the people projecting for around winning 38 games, they're entitled to their opinion. I think that's in the First Amendment.
Jimmy Butler getting in on these, talking about social issues that you're seeing from all these athletes. First Amendment.
He knows what's up with the U.S. government. He paid attention in that class, I guess you could say. But, I mean, what's the Bulls' vibe toward that? Because back at Dwayne Wade's introductory press conference, we asked him about expectations, and he's like, I'm not putting any expectations on it yet. Media Day, he said, after being around these guys in the gym, seeing Rondo around the team so much and just the attitude, he said higher expectations for the Bulls than when he signed, which is funny because Dwayne Wade was literally in China for like 3 weeks. He was in Miami for 2 or 3 weeks. He was in LA for 2 or 3 weeks between his late July, I believe, introductory press conference in this Media Day. There's about 2 months. I mean, he wasn't in Chicago that much, but somehow he has a lot more belief in the Bulls in that 2 month time frame. So,
well, I'm just gonna break something to you, Cody. Sometimes these things that people say at these press conferences are just kind of playing to the crowd and aren't 100% true. I know that's shocking to you and
totally
disillusioning, but like, but no. So as far as like their expectations, they've been really careful to not put any hard expectations on this team, because one of the things that really sunk them last year was at Fred Hoiberg's introductory press conference after they hired him after firing Tom Thibodeau. They talked about how they still feel like this roster can contend. And then obviously when they didn't, that it came back and made them look bad. They haven't put a win total on what they want this year. They haven't put it like, we want to get to this round of the playoffs. I think internally they would expect to make the playoffs, whether that's realistic or not. And if you want to go through the Eastern Conference, there's six or seven teams that are locks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the Bulls are trying to just get back to relevance, significance, respectability after what was an embarrassing season. And you don't bring Dwayne Wade in to this team and then be like, oh, you know, like the playoffs aren't a goal. Like, that's not an expectation. You add Dwayne Wade, that's the expectation when you got Jimmy Butler, who we referenced before, probably a top 15 NBA player out there. But along that regard, Vegas has chimed in with its wins total a little bit. We're holding off, I think, until the end of training camp, right before the season, to make our final prediction. But we do get this question from Irving.
This is an interesting question. Props to Irving for this question.
Good question, Irving. Shout out.
This is one we haven't gotten before.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls. But he asks, with the same roster, but Tom Thibodeau as coach, what's your wins total prediction? Now, we haven't set our wins total. So if we were to give a prediction now and give too much away, it'd say what we really think. And we do want to see those preseason games. But, I mean, I would think Tibbs is a regular season grinder. He's a top 3-4 coach in the NBA.
I think whatever win total you would predict, if you add Tom as the coach, you add 4 or 5 more wins onto it.
What if I just say 50? 50 and 32. Like, that's what Tom Thibodeau does.
Yeah.
People's legs are falling off. No one can trot out there and barely dribble basketball, and the Bulls still would get to like 49 or 50 wins, basically, every year with Tibbs. I know I think there's a 45-win season in there somewhere, but, I mean, 50 wins. I think Chicago took for granted, like, how difficult it can be sometimes to get to the 50-win mark in the NBA. There's usually only, what, probably 5-6 teams that really get there, sometimes fewer than that. I think last year there was a host of teams right around that
last
marker,
year
right above some 53-win teams.
Last year it was Golden State, San Antonio, the Clippers, the Cavs, and the Raptors. I think that's it.
Yeah, Thunder.
Thunder, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, only 5 or 6 teams usually get to that mark, and the Bulls were doing that. But, yeah, I mean, that's what Tibbs does. He's one of the best coaches in the NBA. This roster, I mean, we shouldn't spend too much time on a hypothetical here with a fake coach, but I think he would still find a way to grind it out on defense and have a respectable defense, which is a question mark for this Bulls.
He also, I mean, with some of the specific personnel, he has a relationship with Rondo from their time in Boston together. And he, even though he's not with Jimmy anymore, he coached Jimmy again this summer with Team USA. And Wade is a guy that he's coached against in the playoffs a bunch of times, so he knows his game well.
You mentioned Rondo. Brings up our next question. From Gideon via email, and you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions, advertising inquiries. Gideon asks, will Rajon Rondo improve that three-point shot that we referenced earlier on the podcast? I think he's going to be worse than last year. He was league average last year, and now he's entering an offense that is less conducive to floor spacing. I know Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler are out there to create some shots too, but I feel like, and I didn't watch Kings games, I'm not going to lie to you, I watched a few. I did not study the Kings last year. Just like Rondo always says, he didn't pay attention to the Bulls when he was on the West Coast. Being in the Midwest, didn't pay a lot of attention to the Kings. But I feel like some of that was probably empty statistics, like good looks when the Kings were getting blown out a lot of nights. And when you do tend to play 115 to 105 games, like when that's your final score, like the Kings always seem to do, like, the points and percentages are slightly easier to come by. And that was an outlier, him shooting league average. I mean, like you said, he's a 28% career three-point shooter, league average around 35%, but I think he's going to go down from that number.
What I would say to that, and I tend to agree with you that it's an outlier, what he shot last year, but what I would say to that is that also the half season that he was in Dallas the season before was, he was around 35%, I think, after he got traded from Boston to Dallas, and that Dallas team was a playoff team. So we have about 100 game or so stretch of him shooting around league average from 3-point range. But again, I'm still gonna believe the 8-year sample size over the 1.5 year.
That was a Dallas playoff team that kicked Rondo off of the postseason roster. Like, if it had been baseball, they'd, like, called some guy up from the minor leagues and left him off the active roster.
Well,
Rondo, they had to make up an injury.
Well, the Rondo relationship with Rick Carlisle is its own set of issues. I'm just saying that last year wasn't the first time he'd ever shot well from three-point range. But I would tend to agree with you. I think the best-case scenario for his three-point shooting is what it was last year. I don't think it's going to get higher than that.
I would agree with that that assessment. And I don't think the Bulls are... if you do cherry pick quotes, which that's what you kind of got to do during training camp a lot of times, what has any meaning? Fred Hoiberg did reference today, a key to the offense is, he said, we're going to have to get baskets out of cutting and slashing, slipping out of screen and rolls. He said recognition will be a big thing. So, like,
that's what you do when you don't have 3-point shooters.
Exactly. So he's explaining to you, like, that's Fred's subtle way, just like he was kind of subtly saying, I like having Rondo because I trust him more as a point guard than I trust Derrick Rose as a point guard, it seems to be saying. This is Fred's way of saying, yeah, I know we don't have a lot of three-point shooting. I can't sit here and say, we're the Bulls and we're going to be bad at this. But hey, I can say, we have to do this because this is what success is going to be. And it feels like that's something that might carry meaning. Recognition, that's good because Rondo, good at recognizing things. Dwayne Wade, probably good at that too. Bulls need to fit in around them. But yeah, I mean, what we do right now is basically, Sean, just read between the lines all the time.
One more thing that Fred brought up at training camp today, which was, we asked Gar and Fred about this yesterday, but the issue of Dwayne Wade's minutes and just kind of limiting him in practice to preserve his body because he's 34 and has a history of knee problems. Again, Fred didn't say exactly how much he's going to limit him, and he said that Dwayne participated fully in their 2.5-hour practice today, yeah. Full contact. They expect him to participate again tomorrow. As of now, they aren't limiting him in practice, but he did say that he's going to be communicating with Wade, and if Wade comes to him and says, look, I need a day off, then he's going to give him a day off. But so that just kind of points to what we've been expecting for a long time, which is that...
Coach Dwayne Wade.
Well, first of all, Coach Dwayne Wade, but second of all, during the season, if there's a back-to-back at the end of a long road trip, they might just hold him out, or, they might cut his minutes from 30 last year to, like, 27 or 28, just to preserve his body in case they make the playoffs and they need him at full strength.
Yeah, and the Bulls have a new director of athletic performance in Chip Schaefer,
yes,
as well, an NBA veteran who's respected across the league. So maybe slightly different approach there, too, after the exit of Jen Swanson this past offseason. So that will be something to monitor. But yeah, I chuckled a little bit when I heard that quote, too. Just Fred saying, well, when Dwayne says he can't go, I mean, he's basically not going to go. So it is incumbent on Dwayne Wade, to be honest.
It's not unprecedented. Well, he certainly earned that right. He's done enough in his career that he knows his body well. And if he's a smart guy, he... But it's not unprecedented. They kind of would give Pau Gasol days off at some point.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. And you got to remember, Dwayne Wade's good friend is LeBron James, who once took 2 weeks off during the middle of a West Coast road trip, didn't go on it so he could go to Miami.
And just like, right.
Incredible.
And again, I mean, as much as we laugh at that, that was what turned that Cavs season around.
It was.
Because they did the Mozgov and Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith trade during
LeBron got healthy, too.
During that, and then LeBron gets healthy, comes back, and they've been struggling. They go on their winning streak. I don't think we can expect Dwayne Wade to just take 2 weeks off in the middle of the season, but I would expect, as we've expected since they signed him, that they're going to be pretty conservative with how they use him during the regular season.
Yeah, you gotta love LeBron James self-appointed paid time off during the middle of the season.
When you're LeBron, you can do that.
That's absolutely true. He has got more power in basketball equity than anyone in the league, than anyone in a real long time can rival anyone. But we'll keep watching these storylines as well, I believe. Wednesday, the Bulls have another double session scheduled.
2 days every day this week.
Always subject to change, maybe, but they did want a little bit harder of a training camp, so we expect they'll keep going hard, and we will keep you updated as always. Follow us on Twitter, @LockedOnBulls, @CodyWesterlin, @Hyken. Email us @LockedOnBulls. Leave us a 5-star review.
You can subscribe
very
to us.
Very big, very clutch.
And subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe to The Athletic if you want to read my work.
Absolutely. We'll keep pushing that podcast out for you. And thanks for listening as always.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.